What is the best Mega Evolution? And I'm not talking about which Mega Evolution do I personally like the best. I'm talking about what was the best performing Mega Evolution in competitive Pokemon. And you might think that this is a hard question to answer because, I mean, there's so many Mega Evolutions, right? How could you possibly pick the best one? It is somewhat of a hard question, but mostly because there aren't that many Mega Evolutions in contention. There are only 5 Mega Evolutions that managed to win the Pokemon World Championships. But that's not the only thing we want to consider, especially because there were only 5 World Championships where you could even use Mega Evolutions. The bigger issue is that while lots of Mega Evolutions have interesting designs and are like really cool from a lore perspective, only a handful of them have ever had any moderate success in the official competitive format. With that being said, after a lot of research, I figured out what the 10 best performing Mega Evolutions were, and we can talk about them starting with Mega Lucario. Mega Lucario is an interesting one because while base Lucario isn't typically considered to be a very good Pokemon, Mega Lucario was totally respectable. To be clear, it was never really all that common, but it was really fast and hit really hard, and so it was able to really shine on offensive teams. Mega Lucario got second at the World Championships the very first year where Mega Evolutions were legal, and it was also a Pokemon that was used pretty regularly on one of the stronger compositions the final year that Mega Evolutions, a team that was built around the combination of Lunala and Xerneas. So what makes Mega Lucario good? The short answer is that it was really good against Mega Kangaskhan. As a Steel-type Pokemon, it resisted the Normal-type moves from Mega Kangaskhan, and as a Fighting-type, it could deal super effective damage back. Plus, Mega Lucario was really fast, outspeeding many Mega Pokemon, including Mega Kangaskhan. It wasn't just about its relationship with the Mega Mother, though. Mega Lucario gains the ability Adaptability, which powers up all of its moves if they share a type with Lucario. In other words, Mega Lucario's Fighting and Steel-type moves get a damage boost, and that's on top of the boost that these moves were already getting by matching one of Lucario's types. This allowed Mega Lucario to do huge damage, even if it wasn't dealing super effective damage, because it would often use the move Close Combat, which is really, really strong, and then factoring in Mega Lucario's high attack stat and the fact that it has this ability which is powering it up even more, it makes it really scary. Adaptability is also useful on Mega Lucario's weaker moves, though. One such example is Bullet Punch, which is a move which is really weak, so you wouldn't think that players would like to use it, except that it has an increased stage of priority, meaning it moves before most other attacks. In other words, even if Mega Lucario weren't the faster Pokemon, Bullet Punch would still often move first. Weak priority moves are normally used to, like, finish off a low HP target, or combo with a stronger, faster attack, or just to get a parting shot off before a Pokemon faints. But because of adaptability powering up Bullet Punch and how strong Mega Lucario was, this could actually be a decent offensive tool, even in the situations where, like, the opponent wasn't incredibly low HP. The main weakness of Mega Lucario, and the reason why it wasn't used more in my opinion, is the fact that it's not very bulky. Mega Evolutions could really swing the course of a battle, and a lot of them were bulky enough that it was hard to get rid of them, and so if your Mega Evolution could be knocked out by a single strong attack, that made it a lot harder to protect it and get maximum value out of it. This is especially relevant because Lucario's Close Combat, the move that it most wants to use, lowers both of its defense stats, so it made it even easier for the opponent to get rid of it, because while the speed was nice to outspeed and KO opponents before they moved, it also meant you were going to drop your defenses before they attacked so they could, like, revenge kill you afterwards. It's a cool Mega Evolution, and I think it did pretty well over the years, warranting its spot at number 10 on our list. The number 9 slot on our list goes to Mega Scizor. Mega Scizor is a Pokemon that, until I started doing research for these types of videos, I didn't think of as being very good, but then I was reminded that it actually had a pretty respectable string of performances. It won an international level championship, which is the second highest level behind the World Championships, and it won at least one regional championship. I say at least because a lot of the data from this era is imperfect. Like, I know that there are results missing from the results page, and so for a lot of these Pokemon that we're going to talk about, I'll tell you at least how many events they won, but keep in mind that I don't have all of the events handy. There's no place that tracks all of them, so yeah, just keep that in mind. Anyway, unlike Mega Lucario, who changes the way that Lucario plays pretty dramatically, Mega Scizor is basically just a version of Scizor with much better stats. It keeps the same typing ability, and all Mega Evolutions have the same move pool as they do in base, and so it's really not that dramatic of a difference. Scizor also wasn't thought to be that strong of a Pokemon, at least not during the years where Mega Evolution was released, just due to overall power creep and the introduction of Incineroar, who definitely didn't help. Okay, so Incineroar didn't help Mega Scizor's viability. But you know what would help Scizor? This week's sponsor, Sailie. I travel internationally pretty often for Pokemon tournaments. If you've been watching this channel, you've probably guessed that. Normally going to places like Europe, and sometimes even more far away places like Japan. And I like when my cell phone works when I'm in foreign countries, because that's kind of nice and makes getting around a lot easier, especially because I don't have a very good sense of direction. But it can be a real pain to try and find a SIM card for each location, especially when I'm going to multiple countries in a single trip, and spending hours running around an airport trying to find the appropriate SIM card, it cuts into my very valuable gamer time. Thankfully, Sailee is here to help by providing super consistent eSIMs that work in over 160 countries. All I needed to do was download the Sailee app, buy a plan, and install the eSIM, and it activated it instantly after landing. This means you can enjoy foreign countries without all the hassle of finding a SIM card. And even better, you only have to download the app once. So when I go to Europe this year for the European International Championships, all I have to do is open the app, buy a new plan, and I'll have a British eSIM ready to go right when I land. Please don't unsubscribe. I'm sorry, British people. So just like I'm gonna do, you can also save time and money while traveling. Download the Sailee app today and use code Wolfie at the checkout for 15% off your eSIM plan. Thanks again to Sailee for sponsoring this video. However, there was one team style in particular that really liked Mega Scizor. Teams built around the rain strategy really loved Mega Scizor. This is partially because they didn't want another Mega Evolution on the team. Like, the more generically considered stronger Mega Evolutions didn't fit so well with the team, whereas Scizor really did. And Scizor was really well positioned to take advantage of the rain weather condition. This is partially because Scizor's able to hit the bug type Pokemon that the water and electric moves that these teams often used, like, just couldn't deal damage to, but it's also partially because Scizor has really nice typing. It's a bug and a steel type Pokemon, which means that it gets a handful of resistances, but only has one weakness. The problem is that that weakness is a quadruple weakness, meaning if it ever takes any fire type attacks, Mega Scizor is going to go down very, very quickly. With the rain and Mega Scizor's high base defense, it was possible for it to stick around a while longer. It also helps that the water type Pokemon that these teams often use, which was normally Politoed and Ludicolo, were able of really threatening fire type Pokemon offensively, making it much harder to justify bringing them to the battle. This was especially useful because the main fire type Pokemon at the time was Incineroar. That's true actually of most times, I shouldn't say at the time. The main fire type Pokemon is Incineroar, and Incineroar is not only useful because it threatens Scizor like offensively with its fire moves, but also because Intimidate can help slow it down, and so when you have these water type Pokemon that are really threatening Incineroar, it makes it a lot harder to bring it to the battle, which then creates more room for Scizor to be really, really scary. Mega Scizor basically had two primary sets that it ran. It would either use a U-turn to switch itself out and do like decent damage so it could come in, tank a hit, U-turn, reposition. The more common one though was using the move Swords Dance, which gives it two stages of increased attack every time it uses it. This allows Mega Scizor to make up for the fact that it isn't like the strongest Mega Evolution to start out, but if it gets a Swords Dance up, it can suddenly start doing a ton of damage. Just like Lucario, Mega Scizor's ability Technician also gives it a damage boost to its Bullet Punch attack. Technician makes all moves that are below 60 base power 50% stronger, and so after a Swords Dance and the base stat increase from the Mega Evolution and, yeah, like Technician, Bullet Punch could actually start doing really, really big damage. Mega Scizor didn't see a ton of play generally. In fact, it's a Pokemon that I had forgotten about even being used until I think I was working on the best bug type video, and I was doing research and I was like, oh, like, well, Mega Scizor actually won an international. I forgot about that. So it wasn't super common by any means, but it was present and it did have results. And I think it actually had a lot of results relative to how low the usage was for it. Anyway, all that to say, the number 8 slot in our list is Mega Gardevoir. Mega Gardevoir is a really interesting one because it has some really great strengths, but it also has some very pronounced weaknesses. The biggest strength is that Mega Gardevoir is a fairy type Pokemon, and fairy is the best type in the game, and it gets a really broken ability called Pixelate. Pixelate turns all normal type moves into fairy type moves and gives them a damage boost, and so it allowed Mega Gardevoir to be a really consistent attacker, having access to all these powerful Fairy-type moves that other Fairy-type Pokemon didn't. And Mega Gardevoir had some decent results. It won the US National Championships in 2015, I won a regional with it myself, and it also top-cut the World Championships in 2015 on two separate teams. Mega Gardevoir was very similar to a lot of other Mega Evolutions in that it had 100 base speed. That was the level where a ton of different Mega Evolutions were, and if you were below it, it could be kind of difficult, but if you were above it, it gave you a pretty big edge over tons of other Mega Evolutions. Mega Gardevoir was at 100, which is like basically where you want to be at the very least. But in addition to being pretty fast, Mega Gardevoir also has very respectable bulk on the special side. I'd actually go so far as to say it has really good special bulk. It was very difficult to remove with special attacks, even if they were super effective. And that staying power was very valuable because Mega Gardevoir was a Pokemon that excelled at sitting on the field and just outputting consistent spread damage over time. Spread damage refers to moves that hit multiple of your opponent's Pokemon, and Mega Gardevoir was able to use the normally normal type move Hyper Voice, but as a fairy type move with a damage boost thanks to its ability, and so it wasn't the kind of Pokemon that was trying to pick up one hit KOs most of the time, but it was the kind of Pokemon where it loved to sit in the field and click Hyper Voice, and if you could click it for like 3 or 4 turns, your opponent would often just like run out of health because it was doing damage to both targets, and it's such a strong move and there are so few types that resist fairy that it was really, really scary. Mega Gardevoir wasn't just forced to click Hyper Voice though. Some Mega Gardevoir used setup moves like Calm Mind to make their Hyper Voices even scarier. Some ran Trick Room, like the one I believe that won the US National Championships in 2015, which allowed it to be a lot tankier because it didn't have to invest points into its speed stat. And I actually won a regional with Imprison Mega Gardevoir, Imprison being a move that stops the opponent from using any moves that the Imprison user has. And so I could use this to completely shut down other Mega Gardevoir. Part of the reason that Mega Gardevoir wasn't used more is that, for one, it didn't have the ridiculous burst damage of some of the higher tier Mega Evolutions. And for another, it was so frail on the physical side that it was a real liability, especially against Pokemon like Mega Kangaskhan, which could threaten to pick it up in a single hit. This is similar to Mega Lucario, and whereas Mega Lucario was frail on both sides, Mega Gardevoir was just frail on the physical side, but it was still a big enough liability that it kept a lot of players from using Mega Gardevoir. By the way, just a reminder, if you're enjoying the content, just do me a favor and double check to see if you're subscribed. Lots of people watch these videos and think that they're subscribed, but they actually aren't. I'm really proud to say that the videos on my YouTube channel are pretty unique, and you're not going to get many substitutes elsewhere, in my opinion. Maybe you feel differently. And so if you want to make sure you're not missing uploads, it's a really great way to tell YouTube that you want to see more. Okay, let's talk about number 7, Mega Mawile. Mega Mawile is one of my personal favorite Mega Evolutions, in part because it's the Mega Evolution that got me through the Last Chance Qualifier back in 2014. The Last Chance Qualifier was for all the players who didn't qualify for Worlds the normal way. They threw everybody into this one big bracket, and if you lost a single set, you were out. That was it. And so Mega Mawile was the Pokemon that I chose to bet on, and it ultimately carried me through. But I wasn't the only one to have success with Mega Mawile. It was one of the stronger Mega Evolutions. It won regional and national level events. I think Mega Mawile is a funny Pokemon because it has one of the worst base forms out of any Mega Evolution. It's only competing with, like, maybe Beedrill and, like, I honestly can't even think of any that are nearly as bad. Ironically, Mega Mawile's base form is actually still useful when you're using it as a Mega Evolution. Mega Mawile gains the ability Huge Power, which doubles its attack stat. Doubling a stat is completely ridiculous, and it's one of the main reasons why Mega Mawile was able to be good, despite the fact that it was starting out as like a much worse Pokemon than nearly anything else on this list. But Mawile's base form doesn't have the ability Huge Power, it instead has Intimidate. Intimidate was one of the best abilities you could have on a Mega Evolution because it activates when the Pokemon switches in, and it lowers both your opponent's attack stats. And because Mega Evolution happens before the turn starts, this basically allows you to get two abilities for the price of one. Intimidate's a broken ability, and one of the only weaknesses of it is that once it's activated, it won't activate again unless you switch out. But with Mega Evolution, you could lead Mawile, get an Intimidate down, and then Mega Evolve and replace the ability that was effectively not doing anything anymore with a much stronger one, Huge Power. Mawile was really good for a number of reasons. Number one, it has the single best typing in the game, at least I think so. Fairy and Steel. You take the best offensive type with the best defensive type, and they have good synergy together, and yeah, it's very, very, very scary. It also has good moves. Play Rough is really strong, and although it can miss, it can also lower the opponent's attack stat. It also gets Iron Head, which is a really consistent Steel type move, and the move Sucker Punch, which is strong and has priority and can move before most other Pokemon attack. With its stats, Mawile is bulky enough. It has low base HP, but its defenses are high enough that you can work with it, and although its attack stat isn't high in a vacuum with Huge Power, it's very, very strong. The most obvious weakness then is its low speed stat, but it actually works in Mawile's favor. Mawile was one of the premier Trick Room attackers. In fact, I would say it was the best Mega Evolution in Trick Room for most of the time that Mega Evolution was legal. And even outside of Trick Room, it could still be threatening because it has access to Sucker Punch, which can finish off low HP targets or hit things for big, super effective damage. Mega Mawile was one of the few Mega Evolutions that could actually stand up against Mega Kangaskhan. Because it was a Steel-type Pokemon, it resisted the normal moves. Because it had Intimidate, it could weaken Kangaskhan when it switched in its base form. And because it was partial Fairy-type, it wasn't weak to Mega Kangaskhan's fighting type moves, which is not the case for a lot of other steel type Pokemon. Plus, it was able to threaten it back with huge damage thanks to how strong it was. That's part of the reason why at the World Championships in 2014, X and Y's first World Championships, Mega Mawile was the Mega Evolution to beat. Mega Kangaskhan had dominated for the entire year, but players eventually figured out that given the Mega Evolutions available, Mawile was one of the strongest, and so it made it so that Mega Kangaskhan had a really bad performance that year. And even though Mega Mawile didn't win the World Championships that year, it was used by far the most. Later on, more Mega Evolutions and more Pokemon were added to the games, and so we might expect a Pokemon like Mega Mawile to fall off, and to some extent that's true. It definitely performed worse, but it still ended up doing pretty well later on. Mega Mawile won a regional championship in 2016, which was a format where Pokemon like Primal Groudon, Mega Rayquaza, Primal Kyogre, Xerneas, all these really scary Pokemon were legal, and Mega Mawile was really good because the top team at the time had Mega Kangaskhan, Mega Salamence, and Xerneas, all of whom Mega Mawile matched up really well against. Mega Mawile was also used a little little bit in 2019, the last year of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, for a similar reason. It had these good matchups against some of the top threats. Mega Mawile ranged from usable to good to great, depending on the year and the Pokemon that were legal around it. And I think it's a really cool Mega Evolution and definitely one of the best. Okay, we've got six more Mega Evolutions left to talk about, and this for me is another divide. So far, we've had Mega Evolutions that were like usable but surprising, good but not great. These next two are really pushing great. Starting with Mega Metagross. Mega Metagross was a top Mega Evolution once it was introduced. I think that's in part because Metagross is one of the best base form Pokemon on our list before Mega Evolving, and it has such phenomenal stats that giving it a Mega Evolution, just like, it's kind of a no-brainer that it ended up so good. I guess I shouldn't say no-brainer because there's also Mega Garchomp, who also starts out as a really good Pokemon, so actually I take that back. Mega Metagross won at least 11 regionals and 2 international level events, as well as making it to the semifinals of 2 different world championships. Mega Metagross is really interesting because it really transforms the way that base Metagross plays. Metagross in its base form is a slow and really tanky and strong physical attacker that can work inside Trick Room, can work outside Trick Room, but mostly tries to survive big attacks and then fire back with big damage. Mega Metagross gains a ton of speed and ends up being extremely speedy. Its ability changes as well to Tough Claws, giving certain moves a damage boost. Keeping in mind that Metagross is already a really strong Pokemon, giving it more stats and an ability that boosts some of its moves even more, it's not that hard to see how it turned out being really good. Metagross is another Pokemon that benefits from having a different base ability. In base, Metagross uses the ability Clear Body, which prevents any of its stats from being lowered. This is really useful because if you start the battle out with Metagross, it will be in its base form, and so if your opponent tries to lower its attack stat with Intimidate from Pokemon like, I don't know, Landorus or Mawile or Incineroar, Metagross will be immune to it until it Mega Evolves. In addition to having 2 good abilities, Mega Metagross has a great typing. Steel and Psychic pair decently well together because Psychic resists the fighting type moves that Steel is weak to, and Steel resists the bug type moves that Psychic is weak to, and having 2 types means you just get more options to use when it comes to attacking moves as well. Speaking of which, Metagross has great moves. It has strong Steel and Psychic type moves. It also gets Bullet Punch, which we've talked about twice before, but it also gets some interesting coverage moves like Stomping Tantrum, which is a ground type move that can hit opposing steel types, and Ice Punch, which can be useful against ground type Pokemon that threaten Mega Metagross. I would say that Mega Metagross was overall a really balanced Mega Evolution because its stats were just so good across the board, and because it was faster than that base 100 speed stat that we talked about earlier. It was a Mega Evolution that was really hard to get rid of, that could always do consistent damage, and was also always going to be relevant because it was fast. If you put Mega Metagross in your team, you'd basically be able to bring it to every battle, which is not the case for every Mega Evolution on our list. The reason that Mega Metagross, I think, wasn't better is that while it did so many things well and a couple things really well, it didn't have any of the insanely broken things that made people go like, okay, how did this make it past testing, right? Like, how did they possibly put this in the game? It felt fair in a way that I don't think any of the Pokemon above it have felt fair. And while that might be a good thing from a game design perspective, as a competitive player, it's more about breaking the game than about making sure that everybody's having fun. So speaking of breaking the game, let's talk about Mega Charizard Y, the number 5 best Mega Evolution. Charizard Y is an interesting Pokemon because it seems to have skipped a checks and balance thing that they normally do with Pokemon with Charizard Y's ability. That was a little confusing, but basically what I'm trying to say is that Charizard Y gets the ability Drought, which turns the weather to the strong sunlight. Strong sunlight activates certain other abilities like Chlorophyll and Solar Power, as well as weakening all water moves and powering up all fire moves. Typically, in order to prevent this ability from being too strong, since just a flat 50% boost to fire type moves is pretty scary, Game Freak designs Pokemon that can use it with stats that hold them back. For example, Torkoal being really slow, Ninetales being really weak special, and Groudon being not that fast and also not a very good special attacker, as well as not being a fire type Pokemon, at least when we factor in regular Groudon, not Primal Groudon. Anyway, Charizard seems to have missed that stage of development. It's got that nice 100 base speed number, meaning that it can keep up with most other Mega Evolutions, and its special attack stat is pretty high. Granted, it's not the single highest special attack stat out of any Mega Evolution, but factoring in that all of its fire moves get 50% stronger, you can see why having a special attack stat that good might be a bit of a problem. Charizard won a ton of regionals and at least 2 national level events. When the games first released in X and Y, it was one of the top 3, if not top 2, strongest Mega Evolutions. It was just a really difficult Pokemon to deal with. We talked about how Gardevoir outputting consistent spread damage was really scary, but Charizard was even stronger. And what was especially dangerous is that while it did have access to the move Heat Wave, a powerful fire type move that hits both opponents and has a chance to burn, it wasn't forced to use Heat Wave either. It could also use moves like Flamethrower, Fire Blast, and Overheat, which were all stronger than Heat Wave and only hit one target, to try and remove something quickly. On top of that, you would normally use Water and Rock-type Pokemon to handle Fire-type Pokemon like Charizard, but not only did Drought make it so that all Water-type moves were not as effective on Charizard, it also got the move Solar Beam, which normally takes 2 turns to use, but In the sunlight, it only takes one, and Charizard was setting up the sun, and Solar Beam did super effective damage to water and rock-type Pokemon. Charizard was a big part of the reason why weather was such a big deal in the first year of X and Y, and honestly, throughout many years of X and Y as well, and honestly, even during Sun and Moon. Like, weather was such a big deal in Generation 6 and Generation 7, and I think Mega Charizard Y was a big part of that. Because Mega Charizard Y was doing so much damage with its fire-type moves, even to Pokemon that resisted it, it was often more effective to try and stop it by removing its weather rather than tanking the attacks and firing back. Pokemon like Politoed and Tyranitar were really strong, especially during X and Y, because they were able to actually wrest back control of the weather and make it much harder for Charizard to just KO everything. Like a couple other Pokemon on this list, Charizard benefits from having a different ability in its Mega form than its base form, but unlike the other Pokemon, the main advantage is just that Charizard's ability is different. Charizard never uses its base ability, but the thing about Mega evolving and changing your ability is it allows Charizard to set the sun up after other Pokemon have already switched in for the turn. For example, if you have Charizard on the field in its base form, your opponent might want to switch in Politoed or Tyranitar to turn off the sun. Except regular Charizard can't set the sun up, so the sun isn't active. If your opponent switches in Politoed or Tyranitar, the turn order will go, the switch happens first, Politoed or Tyranitar hits the field, their weather gets set up, then Charizard Mega evolves, then its ability activates, and it overwrites the opposing weather. Normally, to deal with a faster weather setter, you can just lead with a slower weather setter, because the slower ability will activate second, which will give you control over the weather, but that doesn't work against Mega Charizard, because it sets the ability up when it Mega evolves, not when it's led. Mega Charizard definitely fell off a little bit in later years as we got more Mega Evolutions. It does have a weakness, which is that it's not super tanky, and it does have a quadruple weakness to rock, as well as being weak to electric and water, both of which are somewhat common types. And players got better, I think, at handling the insane amounts of fire type damage that it can output. But for many years, it was one of the strongest Mega Evolutions, and I think the fact that it forced so much respect from other players is indicative of how strong it was. That brings us to number 4, which is another jump up in terms of quality. The next two Mega Evolutions were some of the best in the game, some of the best of all time, and extremely, extremely hard to play against. Also, every Mega Evolution remaining on our list has won the World Championships at least once. So, let's talk about number 4, Mega Gengar. Mega Gengar is my personal favorite Mega Evolution. I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure it's the Mega Evolution I've had the most success with. Mega Gengar is a Ghost and Poison-type Pokemon with one of the most broken abilities in the entire game. It's called Shadow Tag, and it prevents all non-Ghost-type Pokemon from switching out while Mega Gengar is on the field. Switching is a really big deal in competitive Pokemon. In fact, it's one of the main skills that you have to develop if you want to play competitively. Not being able to switch limits your options so much. You probably understand this intuitively if you've ever played a Pokemon game, because you know how like the game lets you switch out when it shows you your opponent's next Pokemon and how useful that is? It's useful in competitive play as well, and Mega Gengar completely prevents it. Mega Gengar's typing is also nice, especially when it's trapping Pokemon on the field. I mentioned that ghost types can't be trapped, but ghost type Pokemon are weak to ghost, and Mega Gengar is so fast that it can threaten them with Shadow Ball and kind of force them to switch out so that something else ends up trapped on the field. Poison's not an incredible offensive type, but it is still useful because fairy type Pokemon are so good, and Poison's one of the only two types in the game that can hit them for super effective damage. Mega Gengar won the World Championships in 2016, when I used it to shut down Pokemon like Xerneas, Mega Kangaskhan, and Smeargle. It also won the North American International Championships in 2019, used by me as well. I also won at least one regional with it. I might have won two, but I think it was just one. I used it on my Parish Trap team, which is a really, really mean strategy. Parish Trap is a strategy that refers to the combination of using the move Parish Song, which causes all Pokemon to faint in three turns unless they switch out, with the ability Shadow Tag, which prevents switching. Mega Gengar was the best Parish Trap Pokemon, period. It's the only Pokemon in the game to learn both Shadow Tag and Parish Song, and so it was a really, really dangerous Pokemon because it was basically capable of just winning games on its own if you just kept it alive. Mega Gengar had other options that it could use as well, though. It could use moves like Will-O-Wisp to burn physical attackers, it could use Disable to stop choice Pokemon or to prevent your opponent's strongest moves from hitting it, it could use Substitute to keep itself alive and help buy turns if your opponent ever went for a defensive play. I already mentioned Taunt to shut down support Pokemon, that's one of my favorites. It paired really well with Prankster Pokemon as well, like Whimsicott and Liepard. What you would do with these Pokemon is trap your opponents on the field with Shadow Tag, and then you could use Prankster Encore and Gengar Disable. Gengar was so fast that it could disable before most other Pokemon moved, and if you hit a Pokemon with both Encore and Disable, they would be forced to struggle, doing basically no damage and damaging themselves for a quarter of their health every single time they attack. You could also use the move Fake Tears, which cuts an opponent's special defense in half, to pair with Mega Gengar's huge special attack stat and just pretty much KO almost any Pokemon that took a double up. And there were other options as well. You could use Icy Wind to control the speeds of the battle and help support your teammates. I'm pretty sure I used that when I won North American Internationals in 2019, but I don't remember for sure. Some players used Hidden Power Water, which sounds a little strange, but basically Primal Groudon was one of the top Pokemon for 2 years in competitive play. But the thing about Primal Groudon is that it was really weak to water type attacks. With Hidden Power Water, what you could do is switch in Primal Kyogre, the Groudon was trapped on the field, and just KO them in a single hit with Hidden Power Water, and then yeah, you'd be at a huge advantage. Mega Gengar wasn't used as much as many other Mega Evolutions, but it was really scary, really dangerous, and it had so much success for almost the entire duration of the time that it was legal. I think it's absolutely one of the strongest Mega Evolutions. Okay, before we talk about top three, let's talk about some honorable mentions. First up, Venusaur. Venusaur maybe should have been in this list. I wasn't entirely sure where to rank it compared to like Lucario or Scizor. Venusaur, I would say, had a bit more usage, but didn't have as high peaks. So if you think Venusaur should have been in this list, that's totally fine. Next up is Tyranitar. It had a decent bit of success. It won at least one international level tournament, but for the most part, you would prefer to use regular Tyranitar unless you had like no other Mega Evolution that you wanted on your team, which typically was inefficient. Mega Tyranitar is kind of like Mega Scizor in that it was just a better version of Tyranitar. And so it was also useful if you like didn't need a different item of Tyranitar, so you'd have the option of Mega Evolving. But for the most part, I would say it wasn't as good as the Pokemon on this list. Still pretty good though. The last Mega Evolution, and this is a bit of a surprise, if you were really paying a lot of attention, you might notice that I said five Mega Evolutions won the World Championships at the beginning of this video, but then in the top four, I said every one of the Mega Evolutions left has won the World Championships, so there's one missing. That missing one is Mega Gyarados. Mega Gyarados was never considered to be super, super good until it won the World Championships in 2014. That's pretty much its only notable result though, and so I didn't really want to include it because it was really like kind of just one player being goated, I think, rather than the Pokemon itself being good. But depending on how you view these lists and how like you think the Pokemon should be tiered, totally fair if you think Mega Gyarados should have made it on. I didn't. Okay, now we're into the top three best Mega Evolutions of all time. Number three is going to make some people mad, but let me explain, okay? Number three is Mega Rayquaza. Some of you thought Mega Rayquaza would be number one. Many of you probably. And I don't want to tell you that Mega Rayquaza is not strong, because it is. In a vacuum, it is the single strongest Mega Evolution. Can we pull up its stats, please? Yeah. Let's compare that to Mega Beedrill, please. Thank you. And it's not just the stats that are broken. Pretty much everything about Mega Rayquaza is absurd. First, it has one of the most broken abilities ever. It has one of the best abilities in all of competitive Pokemon called Delta Stream. This ability not only overwrites all other weather and can't be overwritten by regular weather conditions like sun, rain, hail, sand, it also turns off all weaknesses of all flying type Pokemon, including Mega Rayquaza. Basically, this allows Mega Rayquaza to have the benefits of having two types while only having the weaknesses of one, while also getting the resistances of two. Like, it gets both the defensive and offensive benefits of being a flying type without having to worry about the weaknesses. And its base ability is very useful as well. Airlock causes all weather effects to be ignored while Rayquaza is on the field, and while that might not sound very exciting, it means that you can switch Rayquaza in its regular form and immediately get the benefit of overriding the opponent's weather or ignoring the opponent's weather without needing to Mega Evolve first. If this weren't the case, you would have to bring Rayquaza in and Mega Evolve it before you could start competing with the weather war. But with Airlock, Rayquaza is always threatening to shut down your opponent's weather, which is especially scary for Pokemon like Primal Groudon, who really can't afford to take water type attacks. Okay, so it has stupid stats, a broken ability, and its base ability is still very useful. Is that it? No. Mega Rayquaza also gets an incredible signature move called Dragon Ascent, which is a flying type move. The thing about Dragon Ascent is that it's really hard to find good, consistent flying type moves. The best physical move is Brave Bird, which damages you, and all of the special moves are either really weak or can miss. Dragon Ascent does lower both your defenses, but that's actually much more manageable. Switching out Mega Rayquaza causes it to regain the defenses that it lost, and also you can use an item like Focus Sash to help keep Mega Rayquaza alive. Speaking of, Mega Rayquaza is the only Mega Evolution that can hold an item. The only one. All the other ones have to hold their Mega Stone, but Mega Rayquaza just has to have the move Dragon Ascent, and then it can Mega Evolve. And so you can do stuff like Choice Band or Life Orb or Focus Sash or a Berry or Assault Vest, all of which were good. Also, Mega Rayquaza's move pool was incredibly deep. It got basically strong moves of every single type, including some like setup options like Swords Dance, support options like Icy Wind, and then just generally really useful coverage like Earth Power and Overheat. It also has the move Extreme Speed, which is an incredibly powerful priority move, which hits really, really hard. It's actually double the base power of Bullet Punch. And so if you use Swords Dance Mega Rayquaza, suddenly Extreme Speed became very scary. Okay, so I've just described basically the strongest Pokemon of all time. How is it number three on the list? How is that possible? Why was it not better? Well, there's some things you have to consider. First, although Mega Rayquaza excels at kind of doing insane single target damage to a single opponent, the official competitive format is two against two Pokemon on the field at a time. And what that means is that Mega Rayquaza has to take a lot more attacks than if it were in a single battle. Mega Rayquaza also is a restricted legendary Pokemon, meaning that it's only ever usable when other powerful restricted legendary Pokemon are around. And during the years years where Mega Rayquaza was good, one of the top, if not the single top, restricted Pokemon was Xerneas, a Pokemon that Mega Rayquaza has a pretty bad matchup against. In my opinion, though, the biggest weakness of Mega Rayquaza is that it was actually too broken. And what I mean by that is it's both a Mega Evolution and a restricted Pokemon. That might sound like incredible, but there is a real downside. Think about it this way. In the formats where Mega Rayquaza was legal, you were allowed to have two restricted Pokemon and one Mega Evolution. So by combining your restricted Pokemon and your Mega Evolution into a single Pokemon, that meant that instead of having three broken Pokemon on your team, you now only had two. So in a matchup where Mega Rayquaza couldn't come to the battle for whatever reason, like if it wasn't a very good matchup, your opponent could have two different restricted Pokemon and a Mega Evolution, whereas you might only have one restricted. I think that's a big part of the reason why I was the only player to win the World Championships with two different Mega Evolutions on their team. I used Mega Rayquaza and Mega Gengar to win Worlds in 2016 because in the matchups where Mega Rayquaza wasn't very good, I could bring Mega Gengar, and in the matchups where Mega Gengar wasn't good, I could bring Mega Rayquaza. This does limit your options a lot from a team perspective because there's two Pokemon that you can never bring together, which again, I think is part of the reason why Rayquaza, although extremely strong, was held back a bit. Also, because it's a physical attacker, Mega Rayquaza has issues with Intimidate, where obviously it's incredibly strong, but after an Intimidate, it feels a lot more tame. And there are always good Intimidate users in the game, especially the last year that Mega Rayquaza was legal, where Incineroar was the king. That being said, Mega Rayquaza did win the World Championships. I also used it to win an international level event in 2019, also with Mega Gengar, and it won regionals at least five different times. It was an incredible Mega Evolution. It was absolutely one of the best, but that's the reason why it's not higher. Which brings us to our top two, and I went back and forth on which one of these should be number one. These final two Mega Evolutions were the GOATs. Like, they were undoubtedly the best, and they were even a step above Pokemon like Mega Rayquaza and Mega Gengar, which is crazy because those Pokemon were broken. In the end, I decided to give the number two slot on our list to Mega Salamence. Mega Salamence is the only Mega Evolution to win the World Championships twice. It also won at least 14 different regional level events and at least 7 different national level events. It is undoubtedly one of the most broken and strongest Mega Evolutions there is. What makes it so strong? Well, as is the case with I think every other Mega Evolution on this list, its ability is a big part of its success. Mega Kangaskhan gets the Aerialate ability. Aerialate is the flying type version of Pixelate, and we talked about why Pixelate was so good. It's the same thing for Aerialate, except Aerialate is even better because flying type moves, as I just mentioned, kinda suck. There's not that many good options. It's a big reason why Salamence never uses flying type moves in its base form. Mega Salamence can use strong normal type attacks and turn them into flying type attacks and give them a damage boost. On top of that, Mega Salamence also has the benefit of having a different base ability that's very useful. It's Intimidate, which we already talked about being incredibly broken on Mega Mawile. I feel like we've kind of been building here, right? I've been giving you the crumbs to understand Mega Salamence this whole time. Two broken abilities. Okay, that's pretty good, right? And because of Aerialate, it also has a really broken move pool. It can use strong physical and special attacks, and because its stats are so good and it has a high physical and special attack stat, it can be either a physical or a special attacker, or can do both at the same time. Mega Salamence could use the move Hyper Voice, which is the same move that Mega Gardevoir used, to do consistent flying type damage to both opponents. It could also threaten a single opponent with moves like Double Edge or Return, which were a lot stronger but only hit one Pokemon at a time. It wasn't forced to be offensive though, in part because Intimidate was keeping it safe, and also in part because it just has pretty good natural bulk, and because Dragon of Flying gives you a couple really useful resistances plus an immunity to ground. Mega Salamence could also support its team with moves like Tailwind. It could also work as a setup sweeper, using moves like Dragon to make itself stronger and faster, and then blowing through opponents. One of the Mega Salamences that won Worlds used moves like Dragon Dance and Roost to make itself stronger and keep itself healthy, whereas the other used Tailwind in both Hyper Voice and Double Edge to be a threatening offensive Pokemon that could also support its team. Mega Salamence is also one of the fastest Mega Evolutions, faster even than Mega Rayquaza, though not quite as fast as Mega Gengar. This means that it's well over that base 100 speed stat point that we've been talking about, which allowed it to outspeed almost all relevant Mega Evolutions except for Mega Gengar. Just like Mega Metagross, Mega Salamence was one of the most consistent Mega Evolutions. It wasn't quite as easy to keep it alive because it did have that quadruple weakness to ice, as well as being weak to fairy and dragon, all of which are a pretty big deal. But because the stats are so good and the moves are so good and it's so fast, it was almost always going to contribute something every single time you brought it to a battle. Mega Salamence was one of the main Mega Evolutions on the main team of 2016, called Big Six. This team was arguably the single most dominant team in all of competitive Pokemon's history, and Mega Salamence was a big part of the reason why that team was so good. It's worth noting Mega Salamence did get some useful coverage moves like Earthquake and Flamethrower and Fire Blast, but the truth is that its flying type moves are doing so much damage with Aerialate and its high base stats, it didn't often need to run coverage moves. It was often than happy just to run flying type moves and just, yeah, have that be it. Mega Salamis was nerfed going into Generation 7. They'd seen that it was too strong, and so they lowered the power boost from Aerial 8 from 30% on all normal type moves to 20%. Despite that, Mega Salamence won Worlds twice after it was already nerfed, so the nerfs did not do enough to slow it down. In my opinion, there's no argument that Mega Salamence is not a top 2 Mega Evolution, and the only question is whether or not it should be number 1. But the number 1 slot on my list goes to Mega Kangaskhan. Mega Kangaskhan is the most dominant Mega Evolution, period. It won the World Championships in 2015, and it won the majority of national level events throughout the entirety of X and Y and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It also got second at the World Championships twice. So what makes Mega Kangaskhan so good? The easiest thing to understand is its ability, Parental Bond. As a spoiler, Mega Kangaskhan got nerfed going into Generation 7, so I'm going to talk about what made it so good in Generation 6 first. Parental Bond was basically just a 50% damage increase, except it was even better. For context, a 50% increase to damage is already extremely strong. It's a big part of the reason why Zacian was so broken in Sword and Shield. But Mega Kangaskhan's ability wasn't just a 50% boost to its attack stat, it was actually even better, because Parental Bond allowed all of its moves to hit twice, with the second one doing half power. That might seem like I'm nitpicking, but I'm really not. Even though it's technically just a 50% damage increase, there's a lot of reasons why hitting twice is better. First, if Mega Kangaskhan raised its attack stat, the scaling was multiplicative with the damage boost. That might be a little confusing, so let's do something a bit simpler. Two hits, two chances to crit. Mega Kangaskhan would, on average, crit twice as often as a different Pokemon. It also meant that any moves with secondary effects would trigger twice. The biggest offender was the move Power Up Punch, which was designed to be a weak move that did a little damage and gave you one attack boost. Except that if Mega Kangaskhan used it, it gave you two attack boosts, and the attack boost that the first hit gave you immediately applied to the second. Not only that, but by hitting two times, Mega Kangaskhan was able to KO Pokemon even if they were holding the Focus Sash item, which is intended to keep a Pokemon alive from a single attack. Except Mega Kangaskhan's single attacks were actually double attacks. This could also get around the move Substitute, which is intended to block at least one attack with Substitute, but Mega Kangaskhan could break the Substitute with the first hit and then damage the Pokemon behind it with the second. Okay, so the ability was broken. Was that it? No. Mega Kangaskhan's move pool was also ridiculous. It got really consistent damaging options like Double Edge, Return, and Frustration, which could just be used for really solid damage with Parental Bond. But it could also support its team with Fake Out, which normally Fake Out is not used to do a lot of damage, except when you consider that Mega Kangaskhan is strong, a normal type, and getting a 50% damage increase, and having two chances to crit, it's actually a non-trivial threat. I saw Mega Kangaskhan Fake Out do like, it might have KO'd a Mega Beedrill in a single hit. Maybe there was a crit or something, but I've seen some of this thing do like way more damage than it should. It's also nice because Fake Out is kind of like free damage, right? Like you're stopping an opponent from moving for a turn, which is really useful. And so if you're doing even 25% of a Pokemon's health, that actually adds up really quickly, especially when you consider you're not really paying a price for using it. So okay, Fake Out, normal type moves, sure. Is that it? Well, we talked about Power Up Punch already, but Mega Kangaskhan also got the move Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch is already stronger than other priority moves, and when you consider that it's getting a 50% power increase and can even maybe be boosted by Power Up Punch, it starts to get really scary. Okay, so broken ability, broken moves, is that it? Nope. Mega Kangaskhan also has incredible stats. It's very tanky, and it also hits that nice 100 speed stat, which is part of the reason why that 100 speed stat is so important, because that's where Mega Kangaskhan was. It also has a high enough attack stat that, factoring in the 50% boost, it's doing quite a bit of damage. And then there's the typing. Normally, just being a regular normal type Pokemon isn't thought to be very good, but the secret about being a pure normal type Pokemon is how good it is depends largely on how good the stats are. Normal as a type doesn't really interact with the other types very much. It only has one weakness, it has no resistances, and it has one immunity. Normally, you want your Pokemon to have a lot of resistances, so normal isn't thought to be that good. Except if your Pokemon happens to be stronger than most other Pokemon, suddenly having basically no weaknesses ends up being pretty scary. You don't really need resistances so much if you're tanky enough to take a bunch of hits, and so not having weaknesses that your opponent can abuse to get rid of your Pokemon quickly is pretty good. Because of all these factors, Mega Kangaskhan was an incredibly diverse Pokemon. It could work to do burst damage with Double Edge, it could support its team with Fake Out, it could set itself up with Power Up Punch, it could finish off low HP opponents with Priority, you could train it to be really tanky and use it as a Trick Room attacker or a Pokemon that could work in both Tailwind or Trick Room. You could make it really fast. You could use the move Low Kick to do burst damage rather than use Power Up Punch. There were so many different ways you could use this Pokemon. Mega Kangaskhan was the number one Mega Evolution to beat for the entirety of X and Y and Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. That's part of the reason it didn't win Worlds in 2014, but it did win in 2015, and it won most of the events in 2016 as a fellow Mega Evolution to Mega Salamence on the Big Six team, which won almost every event for the duration of the last year of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Mega Kangaskhan is one of the most nerfed Pokemon of all time. In Generation 7, it had lots of its tools taken away. Parental Bond was weakened from doing 50% more damage to only 25%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually makes a big difference. It no longer learned access to Power-Up Punch. Sucker Punch was actually weakened across the board by 10 base power because Mega Kangaskhan showed how good it was. Despite that, Mega Kangaskhan was still one of the top Mega Evolutions throughout Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. It definitely didn't have as high peaks, but it was still consistently a top 3 Mega Evolution, and I think part of the reason it didn't do better is because players were really ready to respect it, and they added an Incineroar who was very, very good at weakening Mega Kangaskhan since it could no longer boost its attack with Power-Up Punch. The fact that it was still good despite how much it was nerfed is a testament to how strong Mega Kangaskhan was, and is a big part of the reason why I think it is the number one best Mega Evolution of all time. Or I should say, of all time so far. Legends EA will be here before we know it, and I'm sure they're going to add some pretty powerful Mega Evolutions. For me, the biggest questions are, will anything be able to dethrone Kangaskhan, and will Mega Salamence finally be able to rise up and claim the number one slot? And that's the top 10 Mega Evolutions. If you like this video, I'm sure you'll like the video I made talking about the 10 worst Mega Evolutions, which is a lot harder to make because there's a lot more bad Mega Evolutions than there are good ones.